In reading the gospel for today, one of the striking things is to see the instructions that Jesus is giving to his apostles about the work that he plans for them to come, or that will fall upon them, of giving testimony to him. He is going to send them out into the entire world and to preach the gospel. This is what we find from the gospel story of the Feast of the Ascension. Before he leaves and ascends into heaven, he tells them, this is his command. Go forth, preach the gospel to every creature. He makes it incumbent upon them that if they do not go forth and preach, people will not believe and will not be saved. So it is important for them to go forth and fulfill this particular work of preaching for souls and bring them to salvation. If you just think about that particular point, and what especially the instructions that are given to the apostles today and this great work that they have to accomplish of going forth and preaching the gospel. He says the Holy Ghost will come upon them, and all the things that they have learned from him over the past 2.5 to 3 years of being with him in that public life, during all of the things that they had been taught will come back to them. Bit by bit, the Holy Ghost will speak to them, recall all these things. They remember everything, remember it in full detail, remember it according to the full spirit of faith too, and everything. So there will be no mistake as they go to preach people what it is they must observe and how to follow and to build up the church in every particular way. But he also warns them that besides this fact, the Holy Ghost is going to come to you and give testimony of me, teach you all these things, and then you are to go forth now and give testimony to people in the world. He says there are people out there who will not accept what you are doing. Well, they've already run into that during this 2.5 to 3 year period with Christ. They've already run into those who have either walked away from him when they've heard certain doctrines they thought were too hard for them to hear, such as like the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. They've been around the points of persecution from the Pharisees and others who did not want to hear the words of Jesus, especially the effect his words had on the people in helping them toward holiness. They've been around those particular things, but now they're coming to realize they're going to go through these sufferings and persecution as our Lord brings it forth to them, seemingly by themselves. Our Lord ascends into heaven. He leaves them alone, if you will. And look at these men whom Jesus has chosen to himself, who there on the Mount of Olives, after Jesus has ascended to heaven, and the men, if you will, probably like stare at each other and say, are we really up to this task? Many of them have not the great education that you would expect people whom Jesus chooses for himself to do this great task, to go to the entire world to preach the gospel and bring the world to salvation. Perhaps they looked at themselves, looked into or around others and saying, we don't have that. The one man who had some education, Judas, well, we saw what happened to him. Jesus told them to remain in Jerusalem till the Holy Ghost came. But now Jesus is gone. And again, there's going to be these thoughts, human thoughts in there. They've walked with Jesus. They've seen the good works with him. They understand the words of confidence. In fact, he sent them out two by two from time to time in the course of that public life to preach to people, to bring the gospel to them, and they've had success. But right now, perhaps it seems that human nature is going to take over upon them, especially when being warned about persecutions that are going to come. So they will remain in Jerusalem. The Master has told them that. But the interesting thing that comes by the providence of God is that they are not alone. No, the Holy Ghost will come upon them. They know that. They know God is always with them. But God has left Mary with them. That's one thing we discover in the epistle for next Sunday, for Pentecost Sunday, is that the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke made a point of bringing this out, that then when they went to the upper room to pray, they persevered in prayer with Mary for that entire period of that novena, the first of novenas to the Holy Ghost. Perhaps as Mary walked with them away from Mount Olivet and brought them back to this upper room where they would be present and reside there for the next week or so, they were those fearful men, wondering how all these things could accomplish. Yes, he has said that will come, but still how? We want to know. Step by step, day by day, she works and calms their hearts. Step by step, day by day, she helps them in their prayer, preparing for the Holy Ghost to come. So by the time Pentecost is almost there, they've calmed down in their hearts and souls. They've gained confidence now in doing the work for God. And then when the Holy Ghost does come upon them, as we see next week in Pentecost, they're ready to go forth, ready to bring the gospel to the entire world. And even if it means persecution, they will gladly suffer it, because this is what the Master not only warned them would happen, but he himself suffered and promised graces to them in the course of those particular things. They were ready at that particular point. They had prepared themselves. The coming of the Holy Ghost was there to accept that mission that they had and go forth and fulfill it. Now, these words in the Gospel don't just apply to the apostles from centuries ago and the work that they had set forth to bring the Gospel, to bring the good news of salvation to all men throughout the entire world. These words apply also to us, not religious only, not just priests who go forth and to save souls, but each one of us. I think you've often heard it said that once you were baptized, you're baptized not only into the church and a member of the church and original sin is taken away and so forth, but you're also baptized to help souls to come to God. We're to be missionaries according to our own way of life. Yes, priests and religious have it as a primary responsibility. But everyone else has responsibilities to bring souls to God too. Good example given to each other in the home, in the practice of virtue, being strong in every way. That's preaching the gospel, saying I'm taking the gospel seriously and living it. At work or at school, giving good example, asking questions when people bring them up. Oh, some right about this particular time will say, oh, I don't know that I can do it. You know, I don't know enough. I'm so weak here. I don't know what to answer. I'm just going to send them off to father or to sister and everything will be fine after that. No, it's not that way. God doesn't expect that to be done. We're to give testimony because testimony has been given to us. We've been baptized. We've been given the strength of God through that. We become children of God. And through that, and the study of our faith, which is something we're supposed to continue to do day by day, through that study of the faith, we're coming more and more closer to God in everything, in every way. And so as people have the simple questions of the day about this or that, we've studied, we've prayed, we've meditated, we've found in the love of God the answers to so many of these questions, we can present them to people. Testimony has been given to us. By the grace of God, by our studies and so forth, we can give that testimony to others. But will there be persecution? Oh yeah, there will be, guaranteed. If the apostles were told they will be persecuted, we're going to suffer too. Jesus even says in one part of the gospel stories, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. No disciple is above his master. So we can't not give testimony to others, can't not live up to what our responsibilities are from baptism, simply because we're going to be persecuted, we're going to go through tough times. Most of us here have received the sacrament of confirmation. The purpose of that sacrament is one, to confirm us, strengthen the faith that we have in us by the work of the Holy Ghost, but also to make it possible that when these kind of times, that the slap on our cheek by the bishop reminds us of, when these kind of times of persecution come our way, we're ready to bear up with them. We're ready to show forth. We are the children of God. We're not going to wimp out for some reason around the way and just say, yes, I'm here to love and serve God, even if it means I must die for it. You know what it's like. If you try to live your Catholic principles in the world today, among worldlings, they will look at you and laugh at you. That's a form of that persecution. Some will even say that in following certain practices that we have of the spiritual life, especially following traditional teachings of the Roman Catholic Church from pre-Vatican II, following these particular things here, we're doing strange things. We're even following at this particular point some things that they want to define as a cult, because we're staying away from the world and the worldly things, living for God, doing things in our practice, in spiritual life and in prayer, that the world just doesn't do right now. And that's normal life in the world. So if we're doing these things in an unnormal way, that stuff's going to be in trouble for us. Then you've got groups of people, I call them the traditional modernists, people who claim in a point of Catholicism that they have the solution for that problem, compromise with the world and try to teach traditional things. We've come in our particular time, they say, where, well, the times demand that we give up these things. Yes, the church taught these things in the past. Yes, this is what the popes have taught us, these things in the past. But our times demand new things so that we can, what, better appeal to the world? Once you try being a worldling with the world, they don't come to you. They laugh and ridicule at you because you've become such a worldly person. And yet these traditional modernists will persist in their way and try to convince even traditional Catholics, this is what you must do. You must change. Keep up with the world because the times demand it. And so in spirit of faith and modesty and dress and so many other things, we find people compromising simply because their leaders say it's okay to do that. Well, the church had never presented in those teachings ever before. And if you try to follow what the church has taught you in the past, what did they tell you? You're following a cult. Phew. If following the traditional teachings of the church and the popes and all those things is being a cult practice, I'm in it. Because we are not here to follow the world nor the things of the world, but rather to live for God. Our persecution today may not be to death, but the persecution we will receive is because we don't keep up with the worldlings. One of the traditional principles that you and I have from the spiritual life that has come down to us from centuries, the time of the apostles, all the way till now, is the point of dying to self, discovering within ourselves what is not of God, and getting rid of it. That's what St. Paul means by dying to self. And from that particular point, that has been a principle of the entire way of our spiritual life. But will people do that? No. When St. John has a vision of those who follow the Lamb in heaven, wherever they go, he has a vision of those, the 144,000 are sealed, and he talks about those who have been martyred and follow the Lamb in a special way because they have given their life over by shedding their blood for Jesus Christ. But he says, and there are a great number of those out there too who still carry palms. Palm is a symbol of victory. Palm is a symbol of saying, I have died for Christ. Great number of those out there who bear these palms in their hands and walk with the Lamb and follow him in heaven wherever he goes. That palm of victory can come even to us who died to self and lived for God. We have to be martyrs in other ways. Forget what the world has to teach us. Forget what these traditional modernists are trying to tell us what to do. We are here to follow what it is the church and Jesus Christ has set before us. We're here to give testimony to these teachings that were given to the apostles and are passed down to us. And what we're supposed to do, just like the apostles were told, as we read in the gospel story of today, Jesus says, remember that when these things happen, when these persecutions come your way, remember I told you about them. Remember at that time I won for you graces that you need to be strong and bear up under these persecutions. St. Pius V says that persecution is the fifth mark of the church. You know from your catechism stories that there are four marks in the church, that without those four, we don't have the identifying principles of the church that Jesus founded. One, holy, Catholic, apostolic. We mention them every time when we pray the creed at Mass. But St. Pius X, when speaking of the points of persecution of those who would remain faithful to God in the midst of the heresies of modernism and in the midst of the free thinkers of the day, in the rise of socialism and communism going on, the persecution of those who would live for God, whether they were put to death or not, it was still a form of persecution. If you are being persecuted, you're forming that fifth mark in the church. Because who would persecute a religion that conforms to the world? Nobody. Absolutely nobody would do that. But if it does not conform to the world and conforms to God, the teachings of his church in a faithful way, guaranteed there's going to be persecution. And we're supposed to accept that in a spirit of love and gratitude, because this is what the same thing happened to our master, the same thing has happened to the apostles, the same thing has happened to us. Again, we may not go through a physical martyrdom, but daily, as St. Paul says, we must die daily. We have to go through a spiritual martyrdom, a spiritual form within ourselves, of dying to ourselves. And I don't care if the world doesn't like that principle. I don't care if the world says, you're too, what, not fervent isn't about the word they like to use, too fanatical. Ultra-conservative. Isn't that the term that's used right now? Ultra-conservative. Ultra-preaching of things there. Just because I follow the teachings the church has always taught for centuries, I'm ultra-conservative. I'm over here in some fringe group. I'm not normal. And if you follow along with those words of persecution that the world, the other religions, even these traditional modernists try to send your way, then you'll fall under persecution and fail. But Jesus tells us, no, you won't fail. Remember, I've told you these things ahead of time. You follow me. You live up to my gospel. You follow all the principles that are set before us, as the Holy Ghost has given to the apostles and the apostles have given to others and passed down faithfully through the centuries. You follow those things. You'll find peace for your heart and soul, and you're going to find persecution from people out here. Even family members, even people you think share the faith with you. They're going to think that they're doing a service to God by persecuting you, ruining your good name, and so many different things like that. That's what's going to come if you and I are faithful. We can't be like, I was given the possible scenario, like the apostles after our Lord ascended into heaven and warned them about this persecution. Well, they would look at each other and say, gosh, can we make it? I don't know if I can. Yes, we can. Hundreds and thousands and millions have gone before us in the time of our Christian faith and have begun strong each and every day. God's grace is there to assist us in every way. We're wrong to say if we can't make it. We're wrong to say that I'm too weak or I don't know enough, that I can't make it through such times. We have God's secret weapon, if you will. The one he used to keep the apostles in focus until the Holy Ghost came. The Blessed Virgin Mary. She is our mother too. She is there to assist us, praying for us at all times. We have her rosary, a special weapon she gave to us centuries ago, to keep us strong, to fight back against the enemies, those who try to persecute us. To show to people this is where the true love and service of God is to be found. We have all these tools. We have the power and strength of the Holy Ghost. We're praying to the Holy Ghost now with this novena as we continue on through the rest of this week, day by day, reflecting on each of the special gifts and other strengths that the Holy Ghost gives to us when we reflect upon the prayers that we pray each day of this novena. The Holy Ghost has come. Mary is there with us. If we have this kind of strength with us, I don't care who wants to be against us. We can make it through anything. Because we have the power of God and His Holy Mother to make us through. All it takes on our part is to walk strong, to accept this, to continue to bear testimony, to show forth in our lives, among ourselves and families, with all the people that we know, at work or in school or elsewhere, to show forth, I'm a child of God. I'm Christian. I'm going to give testimony of it. Ask me, and I will show you that this is what we must do. I don't want everybody to become theologians. That's not the point. But gosh, there's so many things in our faith. It does not demand being a theologian, but does demand that we take our faith seriously and don't waste our time in reading and studying and watching movies and things like that. It takes us away from the proper time we should spend in the study of our faith, meditation, learning more about God and the things of God, learning how to love Him better. In fact, the gift of the Holy Ghost we're reflecting on today, the gift of piety. This particular gift is here to inspire us to love God more, to love ourselves less, so that we can love God more. If we would stop being such selfish individuals and only doing the things that we love, this is why we sin. I love myself so much that I don't want to give up this sin. I like the feeling of that sin. But if I loved God more, then that feeling of selfishness would go away. Piety inspires that within me to be more prayerful and loving and respectful toward God and the things of God. See how the Holy Ghost works in our souls. See how Mary assists us in every way. We all have duties to go forth now to bear testimony to bear testimony to these things, despite what the world, despite what people who claim to hold a truth in religion in any particular way, despite what they will ridicule us for and persecute us for, despite all that, we're here to live for God, and we know that because we have the teachings of His church and the works of the Holy Ghost and our Blessed Mother behind us. If that is with us, who dare? Who dare be against us? They will try, but they will fail. As we continue this novena to the Holy Ghost, let's pray more and more for that strength. Let's put our trust in that power of the Holy Ghost, how He will work with us in every way. For those of you who have the calendar that the sisters put up in the Catholic Research Institute, and the picture that's on that calendar this year is about the Blessed Trinity there, and you see the work of the Holy Ghost, and the caption down below explains to you the different ages in the church, from the beginning of the world to the deluge, the age of God the Father. From the deluge until the death of Jesus Christ that took place was that of the reign of Jesus Christ in the world. You and I live now under the reign of the Holy Ghost, where truth and peace and light is to be found. And though people will not find truth and peace and light if they give up and will not let themselves be ruled by the Holy Ghost, this week, as we prepare for Pentecost, find confidence in the power of the Holy Ghost by praying frequently to Him. Find confidence in the spouse of the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Virgin Mary, for that extra grace, extra strength that we need. No matter what people will try to do, no matter what is going on, God is with us. God will assist us. We're here to bear testimony. We know that we're going to suffer, but we also must remember, as Jesus told His apostles, and He's telling us, I have told these things to you ahead of time, that when they come to pass, you will remember, I told you, and I told you the source of grace and strength you need to make it through. That help is there for each one of us, if only we use it as we should. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.